Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Goldstone's Folly, was written by Joseph Mendel.
The story is a footnote to a larger event.
A young man, a Californian who traveled far to gather much useful information, became the original and most active mover in the entire enterprise.
Little more is written down, but I ask you to remember that history begins with a footnote, and that the meaning of history is illuminated by the story of a single man. San Francisco, in the early spring of 1865.
Lewis, if you can tear yourself away from the window.
Yes, Mr. Loeb.
The shipments for Boston and Philadelphia must go out today.
I'll see to them.
And Ivanov's ship is due this morning. We want his cargo, but remember, he drives a hard bargain. Now, we can go as high... Lewis, you're not listening.
Ivanov is here. I've been watching him dock.
Is that any reason for you to stand at the window like a schoolboy yearning to run away to sea?
Is that how I look? You were saying we can pay...
Never mind that now. What's been making you so restless?
Well, Mr. Lowe...
I know what you need. A wife. To give you a good established home life.
A wife doesn't settle all problems.
Maybe not, but a family often keeps many of them from arriving. Lewis, the weather is good. Why don't you take a few days, a week, up in the hills, do some hunting, fishing?
Why for a hunting trip? Well, as a matter of fact, I've been thinking of a somewhat longer trip. A few months.
Don't overdo it, Lewis. That's a long vacation for a young businessman.
No, I didn't say it was a vacation.
Then what are you talking about? Where do you want to go and when?
I don't know yet. It depends on Captain Ivanov.
Take care, I say. We do not sail a cargo from the Bering Sea to drop it in the Bay of San Francisco.
Captain Ivanov! May I come aboard, Captain?
Not now. Do you not see I am busy? Oh, Mr. Goldstone, come aboard, of course. Pyotr, see to the unloading and listen, Pyotr. If there is damage, even a single crate, you will answer to me. Вы понимаете?
Да, капитан. Я понимаю.
Welcome to San Francisco, Captain.
I am happy to be here, Goldstone, my friend. You came to see my cargo, eh?
Well, yes. But...
I will show you samples in the warehouse. Seal, otter, bear, magnificent skin.
Of course, but I...
But no more buts until you have seen the pearls. Then we will talk price, eh?
I wanted to talk about something else.
Huh?
Captain, are you returning to Alaska?
What? Before you have treated me to one of your fine dinners with champagne. please forgive my Russian levity. I see that you are serious.
The dinner has already been ordered, Captain, with champagne.
Excellent.
Still, I would like to know if you plan to sail directly back to Vladivostok or...
I cannot tell you. I must wait to hear from my employers, the Russian-American company in St. Petersburg. I would like to go home. But it is possible that my orders will be otherwise.
Well, if you sail north again, will you take a passenger?
I see.
Your company wishes to send you to Alaska.
Not exactly.
In which event, I take the liberty to remind you that Alaska belongs to the Tsar of all the Russias, who has granted to my company exclusive rights to... What do you mean, not exactly?
Well, this is my own idea, at my own expense.
Now I understand. You are young, and Alaska is far away and seems to you very mysterious, eh? Goldstone, you are a romantic.
I don't think so.
No? Then you will not be disappointed. Hunting seal in the summer off the Pribble of Islands is not so bad. But on the mainland in the winter, I do not like to remember how it is.
I don't expect a picnic in a meadow, Captain.
Take my advice. Remain here in your beautiful California climate. Unless perhaps you hope someday to have your own business, your own fur trading company, yes?
Maybe, who can tell?
And perhaps you wish to study conditions at first hand, yes?
Would that be a good enough reason?
If you are an ambitious young man...
Then I will be ambitious.
You do not have to convince me, my friend. But for your own sake, it might be better to know why you are so anxious to travel to Alaska.
Who knoweth the spirit of man, whether it goeth upward? Nearly 100 years ago, Lewis Goldstone sailed north from San Francisco. If one reason was that of an ambitious young businessman, there may have been others not yet clear. But consequences go beyond the reasons for a man's doing. And reasons become irrelevant in the blizzards of Alaskan winter. A man is a dark speck in a blinding white immensity. Words long forgotten come to frost-bound lips.
Hast thou entered the treasuries of the snow? And hast thou seen the treasuries of the hail?
Lucky man, mister.
Yes.
If it wasn't for my dog starting to bark...
I heard them. I knew they were close, but I couldn't see your shack.
You wouldn't have lasted much longer in that blizzard. Here, have some more coffee.
What is it, after all? Only moving air blowing snowflakes? Only air and frozen water? But they make a wall, a box around you. You can't see through, that moves with you.
Get closer to the stove and forget it. When you warm up a little, you'll realize how lucky you are.
I know it now. And I'm very thankful.
It's all right. I only did what anybody...
I'm very lucky to have seen what I've seen.
What?
The sun going down for the winter near the Arctic Circle. The sea choked with ice. And yes, the blizzards. But also summer in Juneau, the little flowers that show for a few weeks, and the mosquitoes, worse than any in the States. Have you seen the Yukon River when the salmon are running?
Look here, mister.
The mountains, the seacoast, the rivers. These past months, my eyes have seen Alaska.
You sure you're all right? Talking that way about this blasted country? You touched in the head?
Maybe a little. You've seen it too, you know what it's like.
All I know is...
I've seen much, but there's more I want to know. What's the average temperature? When does the ice melt in the rivers? How deep is the frost line?
Now, you listen to me, mister. I'll tell you what I know. Where to set my traps and how to bring the skins to the Russians on the coast. That's all. That's all I want to know about this godforsaken country.
Godforsaken? You're wrong, my friend. There's a question written down. With what does God occupy himself at night? And the answer is, he rides on the wings of one of his swift cherubs and visits the 18,000 worlds that are his, including Alaska.
You can sleep on the pile of skins.
You think I'm, how did you say it, touched in the head because I came to Alaska?
Cover yourself with a couple of...
Nevertheless,
When I came, I found you already here.
Sure I'm here. Another year, maybe. One good season, then it's back to the States for me. Someplace where it never snows. You see, mister, the difference between you and me is that I know why I'm here.
It may be so. But maybe sometimes you have to do something before you know all the reasons for doing it.
So, you have found me at last, Goldstone.
Well, I hope I've caused you no inconvenience, Captain. I was delayed a few days.
A week. Perhaps the week you spent in Eskimo Village, no?
Oh, you know about that?
I do not travel about Alaska like you, my friend. I remain here on the coast and everyone comes to me. Fur trappers, Eskimos, Indians. They talk to me and I listen. They all talk of the man who comes with wide open eyes and a mouth full of questions.
Well, they also speak of you, Captain.
Do they? And have you written it all down in your notebook? I am curious. Tell me what they say about me.
You can guess. I'm sorry I mentioned it, Captain.
You are a gentleman, Mr. Goldstone. You wish to spare my feelings. But it is not necessary. I am not a very sensitive
person. Well, if you insist. The trappers have told me what you pay for their furs.
They complained that my price is too low?
One of them said, an expression we use in California, he called it highway robbery.
I suppose I must take the blame, but the price I pay is set in St. Petersburg, you know. After all, my company is entitled to make a profit, no? You and I understand it is purely a matter of business.
Is it?
And besides, trappers do not have to sell to me.
No? You mean they can simply not sell their furs at all?
I admit it is a problem for them. But you see what a sound business policy it was for my company to obtain the monopoly of Alaskan trade.
And is it also sound policy to pay the Indians and Eskimos with cheap calico, glass beads, trinkets?
They are simple people, easily pleased. The fact is that they continue to bring me furs.
Because you send your crew with guns to persuade them.
That notebook of yours is remarkably well informed. But so much indignation, my dear Goldstone. We are, after all, businessmen, not missionaries.
Well, that's not my way of doing business. Buyer and seller must both receive value.
What a quaint notion. This is, no doubt, how you Americans deal with your Indians?
Well, if not, it's wrong no matter who does it, Russian or American.
We will end by quarreling, and why should we? I'm not a bad fellow, and you find me amusing, no? We are friends, no?
I like to think of you as my friend.
I'm happy. Then permit me to say, it is an easy thing for you to be a champion of Alaska.
What do you mean?
You are not employed by the Russian-American company in St. Petersburg. You do not have exact instructions as to buying price and selling price, or how many skins each Eskimo village must supply, and how to make sure they are supplied.
Captain Ivanov...
I know what you will say. But if I do not obey instructions, there will be someone else. And if I do not obey, then what of my wife and children in St. Petersburg? What would you have me do, my friend? What would you do if you were in my place? You see, it's a difficult question.
I don't know what I would do.
There you are. Yet you expect me to be a hero.
Oh, no. But you make excuses for what you do because you can't help doing it.
You will discover, my young friend, that a man must come to terms with reality.
You can't come to terms with wrong. You have to see it and name it.
If I do, what does that accomplish? Words, words.
If you don't, if no one does, then how will things ever be different?
You are still expecting too much.
No. It is not required of anybody to be a hero. But every man must know by how much he falls short.
I will tell you something that comes from high circles in St. Petersburg. there is much disappointment in the Alaskan fur trade. There is even talk that the Russian government is disillusioned with Alaska.
Well, why tell me, Captain Ivanov?
We are friends, are we not? And besides, maybe I would like to see what you would do if you were in my place.
Gentlemen, it seems to me there's no point in further discussion.
Let's hear your proposition again, Loeb.
It's simple enough. We, all of us here, form a syndicate on the basis of Goldstone's estimate figures to buy out the Russian-American company.
How do we know they want to sell?
Ivanov said
that. We know, but maybe Ivanov was playing one of his little jokes on Goldstone.
No, I'm sure he wasn't.
Suppose you're right, Goldstone. He's only reporting the rumors going around St. Petersburg. I don't like it. It's too hypothetical.
I don't see how that's a problem.
Well, maybe not to you, Goldstone, but we're putting up the money. Real money.
We certainly are.
Well, what have you got to lose? You form a hypothetical syndicate and make a hypothetical offer. If they want to sell, you're ready to buy. Where's the problem?
I don't see any, Lewis. Do you, gentlemen?
No.
I guess not. All right, Loeb, I'm in.
I'll gamble.
One last question. Who will make the approach to the Russians?
Well, that's easy. We all know the man for the job. Will you undertake to represent the syndicate, Mr. Cole?
I spent the night studying the analysis and estimate, Mr. Loeb. I'm impressed with the thoroughness and close reasoning.
Yeah, Lewis, that's quite a compliment.
But something troubles me. If the Russian-American company is ready to give up the concession, then...
Then why should the syndicate expect to make a profit?
Exactly, Mr. Goldstone.
Well, it's not a question that can be answered with facts and figures. I've seen Alaska, the country and the people who live and work there. And I've seen how the Russians look at Alaska. To them, it's an enormous warehouse of furs.
It's understandable. Fur is the heart of the Alaskan trade.
Mr. Cole, no warehouse, no matter how big, is inexhaustible. Since 1799, the Russian-American company has been taking furs, exploiting Alaska, with no effort to build up the land and the people. Now, if you keep taking indefinitely without returning anything, naturally profits decrease. If the syndicate does the same, the result will be the same.
Do the members of the syndicate understand this, Mr. Loeb?
It took a little time, but we understand.
Good. Then you've hired yourself an attorney. Now, to begin with...
Excuse me, Mr. Cole. There's another aspect to be considered.
Yes, Mr. Goldstone?
You'll be going to Washington soon as senator from California.
You're a little previous. The California electorate is as unpredictable as tomorrow's weather.
If you're elected, it seems likely, you'll be in contact with men high in the administration in Washington.
Oh, I suppose so. There's no secret that Mr. Seward, the Secretary of State, is a good friend of mine. What are you getting at?
Something more important than the fur trade. Something the Secretary of State should know. If Captain Ivanov is right, Alaska itself might be for sale at a bargain price.
I wonder, Mr. Goldstone, if you are aware of all the implications.
Oh, I think so.
At this moment, the syndicate is in a favored position without competitors. If Seward begins negotiations, even secretly, for Alaska, you know what will happen?
There'll be other bids for the trading concession, I know that.
Do your colleagues know it, Mr. Loeb?
Well, they don't like it, but that's the way Lewis offered the proposition, take it or leave it.
You're taking the risk of losing a piece of a mighty profitable business, Mr. Goldstone. Do you mind telling me why?
Well, maybe it's because I've seen Alaska.
That's no answer.
Mr. Cole, there's always a risk. Maybe I'd rather take a chance on the United States government than on the Tsar of Russia.
Mr. Goldstone, are you ready for another trip?
Well, of course. Where are we going?
To Washington. To talk to the Secretary of State.
Have you finished, Mr. Goldstone?
I have, Mr. Secretary.
My thanks to you. And to you, Cole, for bringing him.
I hope the information will be useful.
It will be. Perhaps in more ways than one. Senator, you heard what he had to say. What do you think?
You know blame well what I think, Mr. Seward.
You haven't changed your mind?
No, sir. I'm against it. Even if the Russians really want to sell.
Oh, they do. They offered Alaska for sale 10 years ago.
What?
That's right, Cole. Baron Steckel, their ambassador, recently renewed the offer.
You knew it all along. Huh. It looks as if we'd wasted our time and yours.
Far from it. You've confirmed their eagerness to sell. And the information Mr. Goldstone brought back will be of great value.
What for? To prove that Alaska's a big icebox with a few polar bears and Eskimos in it?
Don't underestimate the fur trade, Senator. Goldstone's figures
Look
show...
Look here, Seward. We've just finished the bloodiest and most expensive war in the history of the nation. Maybe of the world. The South has to be rebuilt. The whole country put back on its feet. This is no time to be thinking about a few sealskins.
Oh, it's not only fur, Senator. There's fish in the oceans and the rivers, enough for a whole industry. There may be minerals in the earth. But even more important...
But who's going to catch the fish and mine the ore in a frozen wilderness, thousands of miles from anywhere? Tell me that, young man.
Well, that's what I mean, Senator. People will come. There'll be cities and towns because it's a new place for people to live in.
I admire your enthusiasm, Mr. Goldstone.
Well, I call it foolishness. I can see you've made up your mind, Seward. I'm going to fight you. But if you win and you buy Alaska, I've got a new name for the place. Seward's Folly.
Well, Goldstone, you see the company you keep. Are you sorry you came to Washington? What? No answer?
I was thinking of something from the Book of Proverbs. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise.
Tell me something. I know why I'm in this fight. But why did you get in it?
Well, I thought it was clear, Mr. Secretary. I want the Alaska fur concession.
You know, I can't promise you that. You're evading my question.
It seems to me that a good many people have asked me the same question, one way or another. I'm not sure I know the answer. It has something to do with right and wrong, with how people should live, together and alone. Maybe it's mostly plain stubbornness. Why not just call it Goldstone's Folly?
On March 30th, 1867, the flag of the United States was raised on the island of Sitka, off the southern coast of Alaska. There's no way of knowing if Lewis Goldstone was there. His company did not receive the fur concession. But much later, Cornelius Cole wrote in his memoirs,
"The original and most active mover in the plan to buy Alaska was an enterprising young Jewish American fur trader, Lewis Goldstone of San Francisco."
The story ends, and only this remains to be added. There is a fanciful notion in the Talmud that God left unfinished the northernmost point of the earth, so that later men would come and complete this corner, thus learning a fraction of the meaning of creation.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address, with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling, to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. A.W. Link Sheffries, member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and a prominent civic leader. Mr. Sheffries.
The story we have just heard was indeed a footnote to a larger event. Yet it is quite conceivable that perhaps even then, Lewis Goldstone dreamed of statehood for Alaska, for he was a man who concerned himself with the future. And in the years which followed the purchase of this vast territory, other enterprising young people went north to face the hard winters because they believed in the future. So time brought change. Alaska was settled, and Alaska grew. And today, it is our 49th state. As we welcome the Eternal Light to its 16th season of broadcasting, we might pause to reflect on the changes which have come about even in these 16 years. The same conditions which brought Alaska closer to the United States have brought all nations of the world much closer today. With the arrival of the jet age, journeys which once took days are now completed in a matter of hours. Lands once distant and mysterious are near and familiar. And so too, people who were strangers to us in the past are today neighbors and friends. These rapid transformations in our scientific age have carried with them many new problems and countless opportunities. But the increased communication among men has also made it clear that there are values and conflicts which endure through history, which bridge the gap of time and survive the tidal wave of technology. We learn once more that we are sons and daughters of the past, as well as parents of the future. In our new awareness, we find that human understanding has an importance, indeed an urgency today, which perhaps mistakenly was not so keenly recognized even a decade ago. In some sense, then, each of us must be a Lewis Goldstone. Each of us must be concerned with right and wrong, with our own responsibilities and obligations to ourselves and to others. And by reminding us of the enduring values which guide us as they have our forefathers, and by constantly reaffirming the universal truths which are with us throughout history, the Eternal Light strives to help us toward a better understanding of ourselves and our fellow man. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sheffers. Our Eternal Light drama today, Goldstone's Folly, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Bill Lipton as Lewis Goldstone and Leon Janney as Captain Ivanov. Others in the cast were Santos Ortega, Guy Rep, Roger DeCoven, Harvey Hayes, Joseph Bell, and Joseph Bolin. Norman Rose was the narrator. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.